We're being judged by the Josh, okay? The studio Josh.
He just has a sixth sense for whenever there's a microphone recording, and he must make himself known. There it is. See?
Oh, good
Lord. I love you. Bye.
I love you.
Okay, things are getting gross in the non-studio here.
We're trying.
So, yeah, if you guys are wondering why my voice is shot, it's from our mini-sodes for our 13 Days Till Halloween
series.
Because
Ashlyn doesn't know what the concept of a mini-sode is, apparently. And she made one that's longer than any other episode we've ever had.
No.
Originally. And then she had to cut it down because Instagram wouldn't let it happen.
No, okay, I've made longer episodes than that, Miranda. Come on.
I'm pretty sure our longest episode is like an hour
and 15 minutes. Yes.
And this one, when you originally had it cut, you told me it was an hour and 17 minutes.
No, so. It was an hour and 17 seconds, and Instagram only allows an hour, so okay. I had to recut
close
the entire
enough.
Thing.
Still, it's way longer than like half of our episodes.
Yeah.
Half. It's way longer than over half of our episodes. You insane woman.
It's a really good story. I highly recommend you guys listen to it. I worked really hard on it. Miranda's being mean. Oh, jerk.
Hey, we do not call each other jerks on this podcast. We just tell each other to shut up a lot.
Anyway.
Your sister camaraderie is being very mean today. People don't like it. Meaning me. I don't like it.
She doesn't like it when I try and like talk back.
No, because it's mean. It's not funny anymore. You get aggressive. It's scary.
Speaking of scary.
Woo!
Hi and welcome back. Sorry. Hi and welcome back to I'll Tell You What, a spoopy podcast. I'm Ashlyn.
And I'm Miranda.
And hopefully my voice doesn't get too grating on you.
Some people find it like very sultry.
You hello.
Oh my gosh. So, I mean, we've given you already a little update of what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, just a reminder, because Ashlyn kind of said it and I kept interrupting her. Feel free to go on to our Instagram and our IGTV. We have our mini series that's being posted there. We may be terrible liars because if at any point we said, we're going to post every single day during the 13 days to Halloween, we're dirty, dirty liars because we planned that spur of the moment day of. So,
yeah.
Never hold us accountable for anything. That's the lesson we've learned today.
We're trying, okay? And therefore, no one can criticize us.
Yes. We put out two episodes a week already, and that's a lot for a podcast. So
please be gentle. That is at Madder Than a Caterpillar on Instagram.
I just said instead of like saying words. That's all that came out.
You also just said find us on Instagram. Like they're just supposed to know where we are.
Yeah, find us. Just find us, okay?
Jeez.
Look, search, do it.
Also, for the norm, please remember to review and rate our podcast on your favorite podcasting apps.
Yeah, I mean, visit us on Podchaser. It's a really great place to go and rate and review your favorite podcasts. It's kind of like a social media app for podcasts. And no, this is not a sponsored segment. We just really like Podchaser. All right.
But yeah, so it's going to be a fun one today. So Miranda, I'll tell you what.
What?
I'll tell you about how Nero Claudius Caesar might have been the original Antichrist. Yeah, so it seems about, like, every few years someone new is being accused of being the Antichrist.
Mm.
You know, Obama, Trump, usually political figures. But there is a theory that the Antichrist in the Bible is thought to be based off of a different politician, which would be Nero Caesar.
No, yes. He really was just trying to get elected, right?
No.
That's how that worked.
No.
What, you're telling me they didn't have democracy in Rome?
They really didn't.
It's Rome, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, at least not as far as their emperor went. Like, they had a Senate and everything. But
that I didn't know.
Their emperor was not a...
Yes. Yes, I know. I've been to many passion plays in my life. They never brought up Nero. We talked about Caesar a lot.
Yeah.
But
well,
apparently Caesar is just the name for... You told me that last time. Yeah. Caesar's the name for, like, whoever's in charge, right?
Yeah, I believe it. The one in that would be around the time that Jesus got crucified would be Tiberius,
Tibes.
I believe.
Tibbs.
But I'd have to double-check that because I kind of read that in my research. But this is mostly focusing after the life of Jesus.
Oh, so this is...
the time of the apostles.
A, A.D.
Yes. Okay.
After
so,
death, because that's not
brief background. His full name is Nero Claudius Caesar Augustus Germanicus. He was born.
Is this Caesar Augustus or is it?
No, it's Nero Claudius.
Why are so many people named Caesar Augustus?
They're not a lot of them named Caesar Augustus. So basically, the Roman Caesars kind of came from one of two lines, the Julian line or the Claudio line.
Mm-hmm.
And Nero was Julian Claudio. So he was born Lucius Domitius Ahenobarbus.
Ahenobarbus?
Might as well. There's no way I'm going to actually say that correctly. Sorry, guys. So a brief recap from our Big Conspiracies About Little Caesars episode, where we first talked about Nero. He was the fifth Roman emperor. He ruled from 54 AD to 68 AD, so about 30 years after Jesus, the time of the apostles. Yeah. And he was 16 when his reign began.
God, stop putting 16-year-old hormonal teenage boys in charge.
Yeah. It was a real bad idea in this case. But actually, not until he grew up a little bit. So, his mom was Agrippina the Younger. She was very controlling and manipulative, had a huge impact on his rule, and was kind to Nero, but he still arranged her death in 58 AD. He tried divorcing his wife, Claudia Octavia, because she was infertile.
Oh.
But he was criticized about this, so he decided to have her put to death for infidelity. Because
love that.
People were like, you shouldn't just divorce your wife. And he's like, but she was...
Yeah,
and adulterer.
They're like Roman Catholics, right?
No, they're not Catholics.
Oh.
Not at all.
Well, I don't know. I forgot who the guy was like, I'm going to change the law so I can divorce my wife as many times as I want.
No, that was King Henry.
Oh, I'm
the
stupid.
Eighth? I don't know.
I'm just stupid.
I need to rewatch Sixth, the musical. Anyway.
Oh, it's about him.
Yes.
Different time zone.
Anne Boleyn was the reason.
Anyway. Different time frame. Entirely. Okay.
Yes. Very different time frame. There was a rumor going around that he possibly planned the Great Fire of Rome.
Oh, love that.
To make place for his summer home.
So
I'm just kidding.
What is the Great Fire of Rome?
I'll touch on that later. Okay. I'll go more in depth.
Once again, the public school system failed me.
But because people were like spreading these rumors, it's thought that that's the reason he blamed the entire fire on the Christians, which led to the persecution of Christians and a lot of them like were killed.
Yeah.
Going in depth a little further, we're going to talk about his messed up family.
Oh.
So he's the only son of Gnaeus Domitius Ahenobarbus.
Ahenobarbus.
Yeah, Ahenobarbus. It's Ahenobarbus. And Agrippina the Younger. So
there's so many names.
I know. But just remember Domitius, Agrippina, and Nero, because those are the ones that I'll actually be using for them.
I'm going to give them all nicknames. We have Demi, Gabby, or Grippy, and... Nini.
Truly remarkable. Okay.
Thank you.
So upon being congratulated at the birth of his son, Domitius replied, I don't think anything produced by me and Agrippina could possibly be good for the state or the people.
Dang. Can you imagine if your dad said that about you?
Like upon your birth. Like
dad's like, yikes.
Like, congratulations on the birth of your son. Wow, that's so great.
Yikes.
Yeah, I don't think anything produced by me and my wife could possibly be good for this world.
Wonderful.
So Domitius is possibly my favorite character in all of this, and that's all I have on him. So the less you know about people, the more you like
afterwards.
Him.
He's like,
well, so the thing is, Agrippina actually had more of an impact on Nero's life.
Yeah.
So Agrippina the Younger, her mom was Agrippina the Elder, was the sister to Emperor Caligula.
Grippy.
Now, do you know anything about Emperor Caligula?
No, the only thing I know that sounds like Caligula is...
I know, we're not
Caligula.
Going in to be more chill. Caligula is one of the worst Roman emperors ever.
I think there's a play based on that.
There's a lot of stuff based off of Caligula.
Yeah. I've heard of Caligula, the play, and it's like gory, isn't it?
Yeah. Super no, he's one of the worst Roman emperors,
you
right up there with
Titus Andronicus.
So she was sister to Emperor Caligula.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, in that family, there were six kids, three boys, three girls. And Agrippina was the fourth child and the oldest girl. Emperor Caligula was known for, at first, being a noble and moderate ruler for about 6 months. And after that, people mainly talked about his debauchery, sadism, cruelty, and extravagance.
Mm.
Ultimately, he was assassinated after 3 years and 10 months.
Sorry, you said debauchery, and then I just started thinking about around high school,
right?
The little girl, debauchery!
Yeah. Caligula was the only surviving male heir of his family. Mm-hmm. Previously, he had two brothers. Mm-hmm. His brothers, because I'm like shorthand.
That's funnier, you know.
Yeah, so his bros wound up being killed during a feud with the previous emperor, Tiberius. So Caligula had a high regard for his sisters and gave them special privileges. Like he put their faces on coins and had people include them in loyalty oaths.
Wow.
Basically, like whenever someone would swear to protect him or like say, may you be blessed.
Oh, like God bless the queen.
It would be.
May the gods bless.
Yeah, may the gods bless my emperor and his sisters. Yes, no, exactly. And
because he really likes his sisters, apparently.
Yeah, and the thing is, that led to some not so great rumors about how close they were.
Mm, sounds like it.
Of particular interest was how he reportedly seemed to treat Drusilla, his second sister.
Drusilla, like from Cinderella.
Anyway.
I'm really good at connections.
This is not a Disney movie, Miranda. I'm just going to say that right now. So of particular interest was how he reportedly seemed to treat Drusilla, his second sister, like a wife, despite her having a husband.
Ah.
People were just like, y'all are a little too close.
Ooh. And even back then that was, well, not back then.
No, back then it was.
Back then it was not good.
It was very frowned upon, yes.
Well, because, I mean, the English continued to do
it. It was very frowned upon. It was very
inbreeding.
Yeah, no. And so, no, I don't know what the whole like a wife thing means. I'm not sure I want to know. Moving on. So Drusilla wound up dying probably from an illness. And Caligula.
Poisoned.
And Caligula apparently had no real regard for any of his sisters after that. And was said to have gone insane.
Oh.
Agrippina, her remaining sister, and Drusilla's widower hatched a plot to kill Caligula, but that failed, and the widower was executed.
Of course.
The remaining sisters were exiled, and Agrippina was forced to take the widower's ashes with her.
Oh, damn.
And Nero did not come
with her. They exiled his ashes.
I just thought, you know, Caligula was being cruel, like, yep, here's this guy that you guys liked. He's dead now.
Oh, see, in my mind, it was like...
even his ashes are like, out of here.
Like, get rid of him and his ashes. They're like, we wanted to exile him, but we already murdered him, so take him with you.
Yeah, so it sounds like he had a particular distaste for Drusilla's widowed husband.
Yeah.
But Nero did not come with her.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so he stayed in Rome. The emperor after Caligula, Emperor Claudius Caesar, lifted the exile, so Agrippina and Nero were reunited.
Yeah.
But Agrippina's husband was dead at that point. And so basically, she stole her sister-in-law, Domitius's sister's, husband, Crispus.
She stole her husband?
Like, Crispus divorced Domitius' sister and married Agrippina.
What the heck?
Yeah.
And it's just steal your girl, except it's Mr. Steal Your Husband.
It's Miss Steal Your Man.
Miss Steal Your Husband.
Yeah. No, she was a very cunning and shrewd person. So Crispus died soon after and left his estate to Nero. Ew. And yes, people thought that she had something to do with his death.
Love that.
Yeah. She wound up killing, like, a lot of people. Just heads up.
Love that.
Yeah, no, she... Murder. Just
murder. She, you know, murder.
It wasn't all, like, overt murder. Like, some of it was setting people up for, like, false accusations. Mm-hmm. That, of course, they would get, you know, convicted of and be sentenced to death. Anyway, so the Empress at the time, Messalina, was concerned that Nero would try to usurp her son for the throne.
Mesothelioma.
Didn't you make that joke last time?
Probably. I think I'm funny.
So anyway, Messalina was concerned that Nero would try and usurp her son for the throne. So she sent assassins to kill Nero, which wasn't a great look for her.
No, I would suppose not.
Well, because people already didn't like her. Messalina was more frowned upon for kind of how she treated Claudius, like the actual Caesar.
Oh.
Yeah.
Was she not having any of it?
No, like, she was not nice to him.
Did he deserve it?
No.
Oh.
Claudius was kind of an idiot.
Oh. But like a himbo.
No.
Is he a himbo?
No.
No.
He was not cute looking. He looked real funky. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but he was, like, the ruler, so, like, that makes him a himbo, I think.
No, it does not.
Because he's got the power, which in turn apparently makes him a drag now.
No. Absolutely
Ashlyn's
not.
Ashlyn's going to include pictures of Claudius in the
He looks like he almost has a caveman forehead. Okay? Like, I looked up pictures of them.
How'd that happen?
Or, like, the statues that were made after them. And let me tell you, Nero also looks kind of creepy, but, like, the thing is Claudius was another level of not attractive, okay?
Great.
And also, what people wrote of him were not exactly flattering.
They were like, he was Claudius is an ugly, ugly leader.
He's an ugly idiot, is what they would basically say.
What a homely man.
Yeah. So anyway, Claudius had a wife, Messalina. Messalina is not nice, clearly. So yes, people started to favor Agrippina and Nero as a result of Messalina, you know, trying to send assassins to kill Nero. And ultimately, Messalina was executed for marrying another man while Claudius was away without first divorcing him.
Wait, I was like, wait a second.
So there's some thought.
She was just like, I don't like you anymore.
There's a reason I included all of this, because it was just funny to me. And kind of shows you that, yes, this is where he comes from, and this is the mindset at the time. So the thing is there was one account that kind of suggested that Messalina might have done this because people might have been trying to oust Claudius, and it would have been a way of, like, saving herself. But the thing is,
how is it saving yourself when you,
by marrying this other person,
marry another person?
Well, if Claudius had been, you know, exiled or killed off while he was overseas, she would have needed to find a way to actually, you know, not die. Unfortunately for her, it was a bad move.
That didn't happen. And in fact, he did come back. And in fact, he wasn't happy that she married someone.
Well, the thing is that divorce at this time in the Roman Empire wasn't really that big of a deal. Like, people did this all the time, almost.
Doing it for centuries, folks.
And basically, you had to at least tell the other person. That was, like, one of the basic requirements.
I mean,
for
it to not be adultery. Still is.
Well, for it to not be adultery, you just basically had to tell the other person, yes, we're divorcing now.
Yep, I'm leaving you.
Yeah, basically.
That's kind of like now.
But like she didn't tell him anything like
that. People separate and they're not married anymore, so it's no longer considered adultery.
Yeah, technically.
To some extent.
Yeah. But
we're
yes,
getting ancient political over here. This is a political podcast now. It's a historical
one. A historically political podcast.
Hey!
So, Messalina is killed because you got to at least tell someone you're leaving them before you marry another person.
I suppose. Semantics.
So after Messalina gets executed, Agrippina starts scheming to get married to Claudius. Thing is, Claudius was her uncle.
Ew!
And this was considered incestual and immoral in Roman society.
Ew! So. Good. At least the Romans had the right idea, because I'm pretty sure the English did this for quite some time.
Well, at this time,
nasty.
At this time, Britain was under Roman rule.
Oh,
yeah.
Well,
so it was considered incestual and immoral. However, it's been suggested that Claudius pursued this match as a political move to try and reconcile the Julian and Claudian branches of the family. Claudius was from the Claudian side of the family, and there were some questions as to whether or not he had as strong a claim to the emperorship as someone who would have been from the Julian side of the family.
Oh, I was like,
and so them marrying kind of brought more legitimacy to his
I suppose, claim. But that's gross.
There were
Where's
a lot
Nero?
Of attempted coups and things. Well, right now, he's getting adopted.
He's adopted.
By Claudius.
He's adopted?
Thank you. So Agrippina was Claudius's fourth wife.
God, really tripping through there, huh?
And Claudius adopted Nero. And Nero at this time was, like, fairly
Was he
older.
An orphan?
No, his dad was dead, but, like, his mom just married the emperor.
Oh.
You forgot that Agrippina was his mom, didn't you?
Yeah, it's been so long since we talked about Nero.
It's a trip, guys. If you ever have, like, a few days, just, like, research the entire Roman...
Or don't.
...Caesarship. It's nuts.
Yeah, but for all of you in high school right now, in world history, she's doing you a favor.
Hey. So, Agrippina did a lot of scheming to get Nero to be, like, the sole heir to the throne, so to speak. He actually wasn't the first in line for the throne. Messalina's son
did
was.
Did she murder everybody else?
She eliminated people.
Ah!
By framing them for crimes punishable by death.
Ah, she did get them murdered. Ah!
One such case was with the suitor of Claudius's daughter, Claudia Octavia. And basically, Agrippina wanted Nero to marry Claudia Octavia because then he would have like a stronger claim to the throne. And so
weren't they related?
They're cousins, yeah.
Another cousin? Like father, like adopted like Ma. Son.
So the thing is, this is all Agrippina. So Agrippina marries Claudius. Claudius is Agrippina's uncle. Claudius has a daughter, Octavia. So Claudius is Nero's stepfather / great uncle. And now he's marrying his great uncle's daughter.
We're going to have to put like a lineage map on our Instagram. Because this is you should bring visual aids to this podcast, Ashlyn.
Anyway,
it's gross. So, there's too many arrows pointing back and forth.
Basically,
family trees should just spread down and out, not up and down and sideways. Yeah. They don't do that.
We shouldn't have any great uncles / stepfathers. No. We just shouldn't.
No.
But basically, Agrippina eliminated Claudia Octavia's suitor so that Nero could marry her and have a stronger claim to the throne is basically the
Someone's
gist you should be getting
mommy
here.
Issues. Okay.
Agrippina's got control issues, let's be honest. Nero was about 14 when he married, Octavia, sorry.
She should be getting married at 14. That's right. Gross.
So Agrippina basically did whatever she could to get complete control over Claudius. Mm-hmm. Or some historians believe that she poisoned him as well. Mm. So now we're getting into Nero's actual politics. Mm-hmm. They're messed up, just like his family. During the early years of Nero's reign, Agrippina treated her son very lovingly, but also had a great deal of influence over him.
Yeah, because he was 14.
He was 16 when he took the throne. Come on.
Still.
14 married, 16 is king. Maria, come on. Clearly, you were ready for all of this at 14 and 16. Oh God, I would not trust any 14-year-old to get married
That's
and any 16-year-old to rule a country.
Oh God.
Let alone an empire.
I remember the Romans had such a history of violence.
Well, most of it was Nero. Anyway, to put it in perspective, the first coin under Nero actually had Agrippina's face, where under normal circumstances, his should have been.
Yeah. She was like, son, don't you just think that my face would be like a better choice, don't you think? You know, me, your dear old momsy.
Yeah. Me. So once he actually started thinking for himself like a little bit, their relationship started to deteriorate.
Oh, no.
And in particular, when she started befriending Octavia, his wife, to have power over him, he didn't really take kindly to this.
She befriended her own cousin?
So it would be cousin / stepdaughter / daughter-in-law.
Ew! Yeah. I'm done.
Once he gets into slashes in the family, you need to stop. reevaluate your life. Anyway.
Gross.
But she was basically getting close to Octavia to try and have control over Nero. But Nero was having an affair. And so he basically just exiled his mom. He's like, stop. Go away. I don't want this.
Okay, good.
Most of his early political works were thought of to be well-meaning but incompetent. And his advisors were likely the reason things didn't fall completely apart.
Sounds like someone else we know.
Like, he wanted to eliminate taxes completely, which
hey,
would have been great for the people, but again, how do you run a country?
Infrastructure and,
remember to vote next week.
Voting
is next Tuesday. Remember to vote. So, Nero actually organized his mother's death. We talked about this earlier in like 68 AD.
Mm-hmm.
Was it 58? I can't remember.
Yeah, he made
I said
some
it earlier.
Reason to get her dead.
Yeah. Despite their deteriorating relationship, however, no one's really sure what pushed him to do this. If it really was anything at all. Like, maybe he just decided.
He's bored.
I'm done having a mom.
He's like,
Peace.
She's kind of annoying, so I just decided to get rid of her.
And also, she only wants me in power so that she can control me, and I'm not about that anymore.
I'm my own man.
I'm my own man.
I was adopted, and I overcame adversity.
Shut up. Okay. So after Agrippina's death, things started to get kind of dicey. According to some historians, it's as if he lost all morality and instead bought into flattery. So he had, like, no sense of right and wrong. Basically, whoever paid him the most compliments got their way.
Mm-hmm.
So he started conducting treason trials with some members of the Senate. Like I said, some of his stuff before was well-meaning but incompetent.
Mm-hmm.
But he strongly supported the Senate beforehand. But now he's planning, you know, their executions, like, some of them.
But he just started executing people?
No, he started conducting treason trials for a couple of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the divorce / execution of Octavia occurred. He also potentially killed his second wife, Poppaea. Poppaea was known to be, like, ridiculously beautiful. Some people who wrote about him at the time claimed that he had kicked her to death.
Ah!
But it's entirely possible that she died in childbirth.
Oh.
Regardless, he deeply mourned her death.
Personally, if he deeply mourned her death, I'm guessing he did not kick her to death.
Well, some people were just claiming that he felt guilty. The thing is, He later castrated and married Sporus, a young freedman who is said to have looked a lot like Papia.
He castrated a boy?
A young man.
A young man that looked like his wife? What?
And put him in a bridal veil, seemingly an attempt to make him more womanly.
I'm very uncomfortable with the energy we created in the studio today.
So were, like, everyone in Roman society. Like, they were like, what the heck is this?
Like, I mean, you know, I'm all for marrying who you want to marry, but don't castrate people against their will.
Yeah, some people believed that he did this because he felt guilty for killing Papia. Yeah, it was gross. Now we're getting into some other stuff, like the Great Fire of Rome. So a lot of people didn't like Nero, which is where you get the whole rumors that he killed Papia when she very well could have just died in childbirth.
Yeah.
Another instance of this potential smear campaign would be the rumors that Nero was the one who orchestrated the Great Fire of Rome.
Mm-hmm.
So the Great Fire of Rome was a fire that started south of Palatine Hill and quickly spread north throughout Rome. It raged for 3 days and destroyed 3 of the 14 Roman districts. Only 4 districts were left intact.
Jesus Christ.
So yeah, it was a big deal. Like, it destroyed a large amount of their architecture.
I could imagine.
So we really only have secondhand accounts of the fire, and we really can't be sure whether or not he did orchestrate it.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like he was in Antium at the time, not Rome. But apparently...
Convenient.
But apparently, upon learning of the fire, he immediately returned to Rome to organize relief efforts.
Okay, well, you know.
But again, it didn't really seem out of character if he had planned it. It was also well noted that he did not like the architecture of Rome.
Yeah.
He thought it was too old. Like, which is funny now, because like, we look at Roman architecture and we're like, wow, it's so beautiful. It's ancient.
Beautiful Roman architecture. So
and then he was like, this is too like, old for
I
my
want
taste.
Modern, please. Yeah. I would like some more modern architecture. Let's just burn it down.
So
it'd be a shame if something would just happen to it. And then we'd have to completely redecorate. Weird.
Well, no, that's how people were thinking.
No, I know.
Yeah. So what we do know about the aftermath of the fire, though. One, Nero used the fire to redo the urban infrastructure of Rome into what he wanted and also built a lavish palace of his own, like on where the fire had raged, basically.
Uh-huh, of course.
And two, he blamed the Christians for the fire. It's unsure exactly why, like, did he need a scapegoat? Or was he just trying...
Ah, man, it was a Christian.
No, or, again, to deflect the rumors, he could have done that.
Yeah.
It's also entirely possible that he blamed it on them to curb their growing influence in Rome.
Mm, he's trying to sully their good name.
Yeah, so the persecution of the Christians, and this is where it gets particularly bloody.
Mm.
Nero ordered the torture and execution of many Christians. He was reportedly mocking in the way that they would be executed as well. One of the execution styles included wrapping them in wild animal hides so that they would be torn apart by dogs.
Ah.
And another that he put them up on crosses and set them on fire.
Oh, God.
So these executions were treated as sporting spectacles, and Nero sometimes offered up his own garden grounds for them. It was during this time that Paul the Apostle was beheaded and Peter was crucified. Mm. However, it is unlikely that Nero ordered these deaths himself. Ironically, so you know how Paul and Silas landed in jail?
Yes.
In the book of Acts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Paul had been falsely accused and imprisoned, and Nero was the one that he was instructed by an angel to appeal to, and Nero had granted him the appeal. So the funny thing is that Nero had basically saved Paul the Apostle previously.
Yeah.
But he was also the cause of Paul the Apostle's death. Oop. Yeah, no. So Nero had personally granted Paul's appeal.
Yeah. And then he was like, nah, I gotta kill you anyway.
Well, he didn't order it. Again, it's unlikely that he actually ordered Paul and Peter's deaths. But, you know, they happen.
Same div.
Due to his cruelty and extravagance, Nero is considered to be either the worst or the second worst emperor of Rome. Who do you think would be the worst, Miranda?
Caesar.
Right, they're all Caesar.
We should all just totally stab Caesar.
Right, they're all Caesar.
Well, then who?
Caligula.
Oh, right. That guy.
His uncle.
Actually, there's been so much information. I don't know.
All right, give me a second, and we'll get into Revelation.
We're getting biblical, folks.
So, I read the entire book of Revelation last night.
Oh, my God. In preparation for this. That's a lot.
Not really, actually. It took less than an hour. It was... So it, there's 22 chapters. There's 22 chapters in Revelation, and they're not long chapters at all. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to make sure I knew what I was talking about today. So what is the book of Revelation? It's believed...
The telling of the end of the world in the Bible.
Yeah. So it's believed by most to actually be written by the Apostle John, also known as John the Beloved.
Yes.
However, some historians suspect that it could have been written by another John. The author of the book, however...
Well, there was an awful lot of Johns in the Bible.
Well, and the thing is, the author of this book identifies himself as John. It says, I, John, in it. Yeah. So we know that some John wrote it.
One of the many Johns in the Bible.
It was just probably like John the Beloved, though. Yeah. It was more than likely John the Beloved.
Yeah, yeah. Well, does he... Is John the Beloved also the one who wrote John? Like, the book of John?
Yes.
So he wrote two books?
So well, did
Peter,
Paul.
Yeah, so did Peter, didn't he?
I think Peter did. Paul definitely did. Paul wrote, like, Corinthians and Thessalonians. Paul wrote a lot of stuff.
So anyway. It's not out of the question for John to have written.
Oh, absolutely not. Especially because a lot of the stuff in the New Testament was Paul writing letters to these different churches.
Yeah.
And the opening of Revelation is actually Jesus instructing John to write these letters to these different churches. So, hey, but before we get into that, the book is written as a recounting of a vision John had in which a couple things happened. One, Jesus appeared to him and told him to write specific messages to the seven churches of Asia. And it was basically like a progress report of what they'd been doing right and wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, some had been not doing great things, and some of them were doing okay things, but needed to work harder, that sort of thing. After the letters, the vision turns into a revelation of what the end of the world as we know it and the return of Christ would look like. Fun fact here. The Greek word for revelation is apocalypse.
I'm just thinking of Chicken Little right now.
So basically,
like an ellipses?
No, like
the pocket in front of it.
The Greek word for revelation is apocalypse. The entire word for like revealing something was apocalypse in Greek. So now that apocalypse means, you know, the end of the world, that's in direct relation to the book of Revelation. So yeah, I told you I read the book of Revelation. And so we're not going to go through the entire thing here because, you know, it's very complex.
I'd also murder you.
And requires a lot of analysis. But I am going to hit a few highlights here.
The highlight reel of Revelation.
Yeah, there's a lot of symbolism because it is based on dream. And in the Bible, dreams like mean something. Or visions, I'm sorry. Visions mean something.
I was like...
If you look at, you know, the story of Joseph, first and foremost, he deciphered
prophecies.
Dreams. Well, he deciphered dreams. This would be considered a prophecy, yes. And so deciphering this.
His whole job was to interpret dreams.
Yes. And so if we look at that, we can kind of see how, you know, some of the symbolism here might not be a literal translation.
Yeah.
But it could be. We don't know. All right. So, a highlight reel. This book contains 24 elders, 4 perpetually singing living beings. One looks like a lion, one looks like an ox, one looks like a flying eagle, and one with a face like a man.
And they're singing?
And each of them has 6 wings and is covered in eyes.
Ew, no!
Yeah, it's horrifying to imagine.
No, covered in eyes!
Yeah.
No!
And they're singing praises unto God. Well, the eyes are even under the wings.
Ew!
The Bible
like
specifies.
In their armpits.
Yes. It's like all over the place.
Ew. Gross.
This book also has 7 seals that will be opened by different angels. 7 trumpets blown by 7 different angels. And these trumpets bring in the woes.
Whoa.
So the thing is, in 1 Corinthians, it talks about how Christians will be basically taken in like the twinkling of an eye and everything. But by the blow of the last trumpet. Huh. So before we get to the last trumpet, we will have to deal with like this thing, and I don't want to deal with it. So I hope I'm dead. I really hope I'm dead.
Well, hopefully you'd be taken up in the rapture.
No, the rapture is supposed to happen after this.
Oh, after this.
Yes.
Yeesh.
At least if we're taking it very literally.
You ever enter
so maybe
a space?
Not.
You ever enter a space that should have people in it and there's no one there, and you go, did the rapture just happen and I'm left behind? Yikes. And then you finally find someone and you're like, still could have happened. Are we the only 2 left?
Oof. But Yeah, so the rapture, again, could happen before this, or if it's supposed to happen, you know, what? By the last trumpet blow, we'll have to deal with this thing. And this thing is scorpion-tailed locusts that aren't allowed to eat grass or plants, just people.
No!
But, like, not completely, because Revelation 9:6 says, during those days, people will seek death but not find it. They will long to die, but death will elude them.
No!
These locusts could potentially be horse-sized. It's unclear.
No!
They'll at least sound like horses.
No!
Now you understand why I definitely want to be dead by this happens. By the time this happens, I don't want to be around for this.
This scares me because this year's really racking up to possibly be this.
If anyone sees the scorpion-tailed locust, please let me know.
No.
So I can pray to God to, like, just kill me already.
Just take me now.
I'm not doing that.
I don't think that's one of the things that's happened this year. We have had murder hornets.
We have had a blink of locusts. More than one.
Well, next year actually is the one where apparently even more.
That might be for around the United States. There were a couple plagues in Africa.
I think in Japan they're all supposed to wake up to next year.
In Africa there were plagues of locusts.
And in the United States next year is a biggie.
I'm not thrilled.
I think we're just ringing in the apocalypse at the moment.
Well, I don't know, because, like, again, we can't necessarily take all of this literally, or we can if we want, but it's so up to interpretation, it's nuts.
I don't think there's anything to interpret about a horse-sized scorpion locust.
It might be horse-sized. The thing is, so it says it sounds like orcas, and it says, like horses, they will do this, or they will, like, go rampaging and everything, and I'm just like... And I'm just like, so does that mean, like, they look like horses rampaging? Are they horse-sized locusts? Or are they normal-sized locusts?
Because that'd be kind of funny.
That just sound like horses. I'm horrified. They also are, like, supposed to wear, like, you know, armor and have hair long like women and stuff. And yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
Why do they need armor? They're locusts. They have an exoskeleton.
I don't know, and I'm terrified. Hopefully this is not one of the ones that will be taken literally, because I don't want this at all.
I don't like this.
Okay, so this book also features a woman giving birth to a baby boy in the sky that a dragon wants to eat.
In the sky? Like on an airplane?
No, like in the clouds.
Oh.
Like people would look up and see this one.
That's even weirder.
Yeah. A seven-headed dragon. Then there's the beast out of the sea. Then there's a beast out of the earth.
Nope.
There are seven angels with plague bowls.
What?
That they will pour out onto the earth.
Plague bowls?
Yep, bowls of plagues.
Like a hot soup?
Yep. There's a thousand-year war. Mm. And a lake of fire. And, you know, a lot of other stuff. This is just the highlight reel, like I said. And it ends on a description of the new heaven and new earth, as well as the restoration of Eden.
Gross.
So that's like...
I mean, but
the compact
this
summary
is the Reader's
of
Digest
Revelation.
Version, Spark Notes.
Of Revelation.
The Spark Notes of Revelation.
It's actually really cool to read, as long as, you know, you hope it doesn't happen to you. But what does it say about the Antichrist?
Mm.
So most people, when referencing the Antichrist in Revelation, are actually talking about the Beast of the Sea.
What?
Yeah. So the Beast of the Sea was called out from the sea by the seven-headed dragon, and the seven-headed dragon in Revelation is heavily applied to be Satan.
Okay, I'm going to be honest. I've read this before and do not recall most of this because I was, like, you know, 12. However, this is where it's getting a little far-fetched for me. And when people take things so literally,
mm-hmm.
it scares me. Because I swear most of these people have not read this part of the Bible. Where a literal seven-headed dragon is going to call some beast out of the sea.
And as it is, so the seven-headed dragon is quite possibly a metaphor, you know, for Satan.
Or the seven deadly sins.
Well, so seven-headed dragon is also, it could be in reference to a bunch of things. Like, the seven heads are said to be seven hills on which the woman will sit, is one of the verses in there. And I'll get to that later. But a lot of people equated it with the fact that one of the nicknames for Rome was the City of Seven Hills.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a connection drawn there.
Okay.
So again, people are pretty sure that a lot of mm-hmm. this is metaphor, at least as far as that goes. So are we going to have a literal seven-headed dragon? Probably not. Will we have Satan pulling some shenanigans? Probably. Again, so seven-headed dragon, heavily implied to be Satan, calls a beast out of the sea.
Mm-hmm.
The physical description of the beast. says it resembled a leopard with feet like a bear and a mouth like a lion. It also had a fatal wound, but that wound is healed. The dragon gives the beast his power and great authority. People worship the dragon for the power it gave the beast and the beast itself. For who could wage war against it? So the beast of the earth is basically the prophet that leads people to believe in the beast.
As to the false prophet.
Yes. And so this is the beast that forces the mark of the beast upon the people. It says in Revelation, which I did not write down where it's found because I'm a dummy. Well, I wrote down the actual verse, just not the citation. It also forced all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hands or on their foreheads so that they could not buy or sell unless they had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of its name.
The mark of the beast.
Yes. And the thing is, we also should keep in mind that John's literally translating what he saw. Mm-hmm. So is it important that it was on their right hands or on their foreheads? Not necessarily. Could it mean something, though? Yes. Could it not be important and just be part of what John saw? Also, yes. So, yes, the mark is said to be the name of the beast or the number of its name. Mm-hmm. And Revelation 13:18, which we referenced in our episode on the curse of the omen, mm-hmm. states, "This calls for wisdom. Let the person who has insight calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. That number is 666. Yes. A different translation calls it humanity's number, not the number of a man.
Yeah.
And anyone who gets the mark will basically be excluded from the Lamb's Book of Life, mm-hmm. which basically means you're going in the lake of fire. Sorry, friends. Mm-hmm. So what does this have to do with Nero?
Yeah.
Well, I'm first going to go into Nero's death real quick. Some people believe that Nero didn't actually die. So like I said, Nero did not have a great relationship with the Roman Senate since he ordered executions because of accusations of treason and whatnot. So one day he receives word that the Senate has declared him to be a public enemy, which is punishable by execution, mm-hmm. which would be like a beating to death.
She's making like arm motions over here. Yes, and they're not very threatening. Anyway.
So the Senate, however, was still deliberating on whether or not to actually kill Nero because Nero was the last of the Julian Claudio bloodline. Mm. Nero's recorded himself as having one daughter who died at the age of 4 months. So yeah, he is actually the last. Nero, however, did not want to be executed and didn't know about the Senate's uncertainty. So he set out to take his own life.
Great.
He made his friends dig a grave for him. Then he got cold feet and wanted a friend to set an example for him by killing themselves first.
What?
Yeah. And as he heard the horsemen approaching to take him to the Senate and everything, Nero reportedly forced his secretary to kill him instead. So Nero's a pansy. As Nero was the last of the Julian Claudio bloodline, this set Rome into a rather uncertain time following his death. The year following his death is known as the Year of Four Emperors. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how fast the turnover rate was. Oh, there was geez. Four emperors in 1 year.
Ah.
Despite that he committed suicide, however, there was a widespread belief that he did not die and would return. At least three Nero imposters led rebellions over the next 20 years. And this belief that Nero would return lasted until about 100 years after his death. Mm-hmm. So, where Revelation and Nero intersect. There seems to be a lot of overlap between Nero and the Beast of the Sea. Perhaps the most cited is the number. In Hebrew, letters correspond to numbers, and translating Nero's name into Hebrew and adding it up, you get 666.
Yes.
In some Greek manuscripts, the number of the beast is said to be 616, which if you translate the Latin version of Nero's name into Hebrew and add up the numbers, you get 616. Mm. The beast will have worshippers, and its mouth will speak blasphemies unto God. That's what the Bible states. Well, Nero and Caligula were said to have abandoned all reserve when it came to emperor worship. They were the only mm-hmm. two emperors who demanded divine honors while they were alive. Uh-huh. And Nero even claimed to be the sun god Apollo. They were all...
Get out of yourself, Nero.
Yeah. Well, historians have also found inscriptions that call Nero Almighty God and Savior.
Oh, my.
Yeah, so that's problematic. Yeah, again, blasphemies unto God and calling people to worship him. Oof. The beast is said to have the power to wage war with the saints, and that he will reign for 42 months. Nero's persecution of the Christians and apostles waged for 42 months. Hmm. Almost exactly. There's also, like I said, the mention of the seven heads of the dragon being seven hills on which the woman sits. Yes. And in ancient times, Rome was also known as the city of the seven hills. Yeah. Several people even referred to Nero as a beast during his life, and these were non-Christians that referred to him as a beast. And the mystery and legends surrounding his death and rumors of his eventual return definitely didn't, you know, quell the call the idea.
Really helpful.
It seems almost eerie how much the Beast of the Sea description in Revelation kind of overlaps with Nero.
Yeah.
You know? So I shall pose this question. Is the Beast of the Sea in Revelation referring to Nero? What do you think?
No, because he did, and the earth is still here.
Do you think it could have been, like, somewhat modeled after his reign? Like, because we see history repeating itself an awful lot.
I mean, yeah, but...
What particularly got me was, like, the 42 months.
So maybe the Christians actually added this in, kind of modeled after his reign.
I mean, it's definitely an idea that a lot of Christians got, was that this could be talking about Nero. I don't know if that's necessarily what John meant by it, though, you know?
Maybe, though. Is that a question anybody's ever posed?
Mm? Yeah, that's literally the question we're posing here now.
Shut up.
The thing is, so John gets this vision from God, and who is he to say, you know, what parts of it are important and what parts aren't?
Yeah.
So again, there could be a lot of stuff that we think is important that isn't. Mm-hmm. And then there's also the question, could it all just be a coincidence?
Yes.
Yeah.
It very much could be.
Also, could Nero potentially come back someday as the Antichrist?
No. I'm just saying no.
And that's Miranda's take. Thank you. Good night. No, that's another thought, especially with the whole legend of Nero's return that people were going around with.
So
they thought that he might be able to return someday as the Antichrist whenever Revelation was supposed to happen.
So, if you think the apocalypse is happening currently as we speak, do you think Nero's come back in maybe the form of a politician? Who knows? If you do, you could email us at matterthanacaterpillar@gmail.com. You could also visit our Instagram at matterthanacaterpillar. While you're at our Instagram, you can head over to our IGTV and check out our mini-series. I'll tell you what, it's 13 Days to Halloween. And check out all of the little mini-sodes that we've put on there, and Ashlyn's one very long episode that she's put on there. Yeah.
Also, you know, remember, if you see any scorpion-tailed locusts or something, feel free to tweet at us or slide into our DMs on Twitter at MatterThanACat. Because I'd like to know, and I'd like to get out of Dodge.
Yeah.
About that.
And while you're at it, you can head over to our TikTok. It's rarely updated. Decent, interesting content. But that's also at Matter Than a Caterpillar, or our username is I'll Tell You What. Dot, dot, dot. Yeah.
Because we're a spoopy podcast.
We're a spoopy podcast.
Again, don't forget, rate, review.
Yeah.
Like us, you know.
Subscribe, follow.
Yeah.
All that jazz.
I promise my voice doesn't always sound like this. So
unless you like it. If you like it, let us know.
And Ashlyn will try and have allergies
more often.
We'll
try to just rasp up her voice. I'm just kidding.
Please don't. So I can't sing and it makes me sad.
As always, tell your mom.
Tell your dad.
Tell your friends.
Tell the FBI agent listening through your phone.
And tell Nero, who's apparently going to raise from the dead, in your closet. And good night.
Okay, but are the scorpion-tailed locusts going to happen in my...
You already brought that up. I couldn't do it again.
But are they happening in my closet, Brand? I need to know.
They're coming with him. He's riding in on one.
No!
Yeah, he's going to ride in on a horse-sized scorpion locust.
Oh, yes. This is Miranda's apocalypse predictions.
It's Miranda's world. You're just living in it.